Wing TV, with Victor Thorne and Lisa Giuliani. The revolution is being televised.
Hello, it's Thursday, July 14th, and you're watching Wing TV. I'm Lisa Giuliani.
And I'm Victor Thorne. Welcome to Wing TV. Now, you know a guest is good when you have other radio talk show hosts suggesting that they come on to your show. Well, that's exactly what happened with today's guest, Mr. Mark Stevens. He's the author of this book right here, Adventures... it's kind of glary. Adventures in Legal Land, and his website can also be found at the same address, adventuresinlegalland.com. Now, he says on the back of this book, is it possible that what you think is real is just a public relations scheme? He's a very interesting gentleman, and we'd like to welcome Mr. Mark Stevens to Wing TV. How you doing, Mark?
Hi, Mark.
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Well, why don't you repeat your website address real quick again before we jump into this?
Adventuresinlegalland.com.
Okay, and as we said, there's a lot of interesting stuff there. Go there and take a little look around. You'll be glad you did. So, Mark, explain, and there's so much stuff to cover here, but explain how the services in this country are paid for on a violent basis. In other words, taxes are based on violence. If you don't pay, that they're going to come in and steal your property. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, you're lucky if all they do is steal your property.
Yeah.
I usually characterize it as either you pay us or you get shot. And what it is that the whole thing, as far as government and politics, the concept of nation, states, and countries, we've been snowed or we've been conned our whole lives, and this is something that's been going on for thousands and thousands of years, that the whole concept of nations, cities, and governments is completely false.
Mm-hmm.
Utterly false. We only believe... Or we're led to believe, because of course we go to government schools, we're led to believe that we're citizens and residents of these non-existent nations, cities, and countries. And that's the public relations scheme that I talk about in the book.
Okay, we are under the belief that this country's being run by an organized crime syndicate and that the federal income tax is an extortion racket. Would you give me your thoughts on the recent ruling in the Joe Bannister case?
Well, one, I think it's great that he won. I think it's great when anybody won. I don't know if it sets a... I wouldn't say that it sets a precedent or that people should start doing the same thing by not paying taxes or not... Or let's say, like in the case of... I always mispronounced it. The Texas case recently, Simkanen.
Yeah, Dick Simkanen.
Yeah, obviously, I mean, he was tried the first time. They found, you know, it was a hung jury. The second time, they were really out to get him, and he was convicted. So I wouldn't hold it up as any kind of precedent setting, hey, let's go out and copy Joe Bannister. But I think it's great that he won.
Right.
He did it totally different from the way that I do things in court.
Uh-huh.
I try to get things done as soon as possible, like right off the bat. I go in to plead guilty.
Do you?
I go in with an unsigned plea of guilty and tell them, look, I'm not a lawyer. I don't understand these things, but I got a few questions. Because as a non-lawyer, I'm legally incapable of defending myself. So I just have a few questions. And so what my questions do, my questions box them into a corner. It exposes the fact that what they're doing is totally illegitimate and that the whole thing is a scam. In fact, I can ask one or two questions and show that the whole system is completely false.
Right. Now, yeah, we think that the Joe Bannister case is definitely a step in the right direction. But when you talk to the religious right about taxes, they go back and they justify this practice by saying, well, didn't Jesus say, rend unto Caesar what is Caesar's? But did he really mean that this should be done at the barrel of a gun? And also, are we really to believe that there was some kind of social compact between Jesus and Caesar?
A lot of Christians like to go back to that, and I hate to say it, sometimes it's easier to talk to an atheist about these things, because they won't go on and use the Bible as a crutch.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the problem with this particular public relations scheme. This scam becomes a part of your identity, and I want to talk about the Stanford Prison Experiment and really explain psychology about that a little further on. When Jesus said, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, he wasn't saying, hey, 85% of your property is Caesar's, give it to him.
Yeah.
Make up your mind. If this belongs to Caesar, give it to him. If this is your neighbor, give it to him. You know, when you look at government, let's just use this particular one as an example, how do you determine what is mine and what is yours?
Yeah, that's a great point.
Well, government being just a group of men and women providing a service at the barrel of a gun, you know, they're supposed to be protecting life, liberty, and property, but you don't have a choice in the service. So unlike normal people, they just will kill you if you don't pay for their services.
Okay, since you brought up the Stanford Prison Experiment, could you explain how that correlates with what's going on in America today?
Sure. Let me just explain real quick how the whole concept of nations is ridiculous.
Okay.
And then I can get in, you know, I can discuss that. We're all told that we're citizens or residents or whatnot of the nation or the city or state, whatever. And we know when a prosecutor hauls us into court and says he represents the state, he doesn't represent the ground or a geographic area. I mean, even ask them, they'll tell you. The state of Missouri or the state of Arizona or whatever is not the ground.
Uh-huh.
Because, let's say, like, the state of New York did not exist on July 3rd, 1776. It just wasn't, but the ground was there, and the people were there, but the state wasn't. So a state is not geographic. It's made up of a body politic of citizens, so-called. And a citizen is a very specific thing because we hear all the time, oh, illegal aliens. Oh, we got to do something about the illegal aliens. Now, I don't want anyone to think that I don't believe that there are trespassers.
Mm-hmm.
There certainly are. But there's no such thing as an illegal alien because there's no such thing as a citizen. Because a citizen, as opposed to an illegal alien, is a member of the body politic who owes the duty of allegiance in return for a duty of protection, and that those are reciprocal obligations. And you can look at it as Laurier versus United States as one of the many Supreme Court cases that describe that.
Yes.
Now, we know you can't sue the police department or the state or the city if your car is stolen or your house is broken into. Because and all lawyers know this, there's no duty to protect anyone.
Mm-hmm.
None. So if the only thing that separates a citizen from an alien is membership in a body politic and this duty of allegiance in return for a duty of protection, and there is no duty of protection, then there is no allegiance due.
Right. Now, does this all
completely collapses?
Yeah. Does this all lead
no allegiance, no protection, no citizen, no citizens, no body politic, no body politic, there's no state. If there's no state, there's no United States, there's no nation. The whole concept completely folds in on itself. It comes into, like, the Stanford Prison Experiment that I like to compare it to, because what you have is people pretending to be citizens and people pretending to be governors, presidents, judges, and whatnot. And the Stanford Prison Experiment was supposed to be a 2-week experiment in the early 70s. And they took a group of men, college age, 20, 22 years old. Half of them were randomly chosen to pretend to be prison guards. The other half were chosen to be prisoners. They were just pretending. And it was supposed to be for 2 weeks. They had to stop it after 6 days.
Because it got so out of control.
Well, yeah. What happened was the prison guards, the men pretending to be prison guards, became sadistic.
Yeah.
So they had to pull the plug. Now, the other side is equally as chilling. Because the people who were pretending to be prisoners, who could have left at any time,
mm-hmm.
didn't. And lost part or all of their personal individual identity. They could not identify themselves apart from the collective group of prisoners.
Yeah. So that's such a great point. And I think this all leads into, then, your government hoax, which you call the most pervasive and stubborn of all hoaxes ever. Expand a little bit on that.
It is, because you've even had very prominent radio show hosts who, with very large audiences, who on almost a daily basis recognize that the state or the government has no duty to protect anyone.
Mm-hmm.
And the line isn't drawn or connected to the government hoax that the whole thing is a scam.
Uh-huh.
It's pervasive because, like in the Stanford Prison Experiment, people pretending to be citizens cannot identify themselves as anything other than a citizen, part of this collective group of citizenry or the state.
You say that there's a way that we can have government, but not at the barrel of a gun, that if these services were given to us or offered to us on a voluntary basis. Explain that a little bit.
Well, if it was offered on a voluntary basis, like other services, and they were doing business like normal people were, it wouldn't be a government. But govern does not mean protect. Govern means control. So the more government you have, the more control you have. I mean, it's that simple. So you can't have the whole concept of a legitimate government, as opposed to a gang of killers, thieves, and liars, is just ridiculous.
So do you believe that we need
any kind of government?
Mark, do you
think... people want their freedom or their life, liberty, and property protected, well, then, as mature, competent adults, they can make a choice on whether to do that. To kill somebody because they do not want your protection is not honorable. It's called being, you know, most people who are willing to kill you or kill other people to get them to pay for a service, whether it's a road or any other kind of service, people who want to kill other people and think it's justified to kill people in cold blood because they don't want a service are usually called psychotics.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you brought that up because you've also written about the sociopathic personality in regard to government. What specifically do you mean by that?
Well, it's not just... well, sociopathic is also lumped in with antisocial personality or borderline personality, where you have callous disregard for the rights of others, you refuse to accept responsibility for your actions. And it's a little more than that, but that's your basic bureaucrat, a politician.
Right.
If a bureaucrat... bottom line is that if bureaucrats believe that you and I have freedom and liberty and property, okay, then they wouldn't seek to protect that on a compulsory or violent basis. They would respect our right to life, liberty, and property and offer their services on a voluntary basis. They don't. They are literally a gang of killers, thieves, and liars. Everything they do, everything they have is stolen. Everything they say is a lie. And I look at 9/11 as a great example, because the airlines believe, and I'm not offering my opinion as to whether the airlines are accountable or not, but as a matter of federal law, because the airlines are being sued because of 9/11, the federal law now stands that 9/11 was a foreseeable occurrence, and that the airlines had a reasonable duty to protect the people on the planes and on the ground and in the buildings, that they failed in that duty and are responsible for the damage done. Then why isn't that same legal standard being applied to the federal government? Lawyers know you don't get through law school, you can't get through law school without going through cases like DeShaney versus State of Wisconsin.
Okay, let me ask you this, Mark.
States. The government has no duty to protect anyone. The only time they have a duty to protect you is when you are physically in their custody.
Do you think that laws are needed and necessary, basic laws, to govern or to, you know, oversee populations? I mean, do you think laws are based on fact or legal opinion only?
All laws are opinions backed by a gun. If I put a gun to your forehead, whatever I say is not a law. The only thing that people need to govern themselves, people who can't govern themselves are usually, you know, you can have... services to protect other people and hold them accountable, but you certainly don't need more law than live honestly, injure no man, give every man his due.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, if you go back far enough, all these jurists or whatnot, whatever you want to call them, all go back to Blackstone. Even Blackstone said the law is based on this. Anything more, anything less is not a law. Live honestly, injure no one, give every man his due.
Mm-hmm. Well said, yeah. Now, let's switch gears a little bit. You've written about Howard Stern and the FCC, and when you listen to conservative talk radio, and they don't like Howard Stern, of course, they come out and say, of course, Stern has his right to free speech, just not on the public airwaves. So they say if he wants to say whatever he wants, then he can do so on cable or on pay-per-view or on satellite. Where do you come in on this matter?
Well, let's look. When they say public, they mean government.
Right.
And I quote Senate Resolution 62 in my book, where, and this is a matter of law, this is not just a Senate resolution that wasn't accepted, this is based on a Supreme Court decision that's never been overturned, that there is no such thing as private ownership, that you and me own nothing, that it's all owned by government. Now, government is a group of men and women doing business at the barrel of a gun. Factually, that's what it is. How do they acquire their alleged ownership of the airwaves?
That's right. That's a good
point. Took it by force. Well, we all know you can't acquire property rights by force, so they don't own it in the first place. So I think it's a total sham. It's just a way of trying to justify their position or justify their control.
Mm-hmm.
See, all this politics is to blind you from what's really going on, and that is that a group of men and women are controlling your life, liberty, and property without your consent.
Right. Okay, some people think they can expunge themselves from the records with the Social Security number. They send letters in, and they say they will no longer be using that, and they try to free themselves from the government's grip. Is this realistic?
Not in my experience. You know, I like how Ernie Hancock puts it. I quote him at the top of my website. There are two types of people, those who want to be left alone and those who will not leave them alone. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we know the ones that won't leave you alone are the problem.
Right.
You have to live your life in a manner consistent with your goal. If your goal is to be left alone, why stir up a hornet's nest and try to get into something that, one, you'll probably never accomplish. Mm-hmm. Two, even if you could accomplish it in 10, 15, or 20 years worth of litigation and hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of fees, you mark yourself. you're standing out like a sore thumb. I'm not saying be a sissy and just back off and do nothing, but I think there are ways to live your life so that you can be left alone that do not involve attacking a sleeping dog.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned earlier in regard to illegal immigration, and you say that there is no citizen, no nation in regard to the people of this country. So differentiate between how you say there is no such thing as illegal immigration in regard to trespassing.
Well, a trespass is where just somebody, regardless of their nationality or alleged political persuasion, is on property without the owner's consent. That's very basic. It doesn't matter if he's Mexican or Canadian or from Fiji. It doesn't matter. That is something you can easily prove. This is my property. This guy didn't have permission. He's a trespasser. But an illegal alien is completely different because it presupposes that there is a nation, that this individual belongs to this nation. Mm-hmm. He does not belong to this nation, and therefore he needs permission to come in.
A lot of people wouldn't like your explanation.
Yeah, I mean, someone who's born here, don't you think they have more right to be here than someone who's born elsewhere, beyond the borders?
Well, you see, that's the virus or the poison of the mind called nationalism or patriotism. If as Americans we believe all men are created equal, we believe all men are created equal. It doesn't say, well, all men are created equal that are born here, that through no choice of their own, they happen to be born here. I think all people have an inherent natural right to control their own life and property.
Well, I think the problem arises when people see their government services that they've paid through via their taxes going to these other individuals, uh-huh. And it really rubs them the wrong way.
And they refuse to assimilate into the culture or learn the language, and they demand special privileges that people born here don't get.
Well, let me use a very good analogy on this. John Gotti used to take care of Howard Beach. There was no crime, really, in his neighborhood. It was a safe neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
Okay? He stole, and allegedly he was a gangster and killed people and ran extortion rackets to get his money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what if he used that money for fireworks, which he did? Every 4th of July, he'd have a huge 4th of July party and fireworks. What if one of his extortion victims turned around and said, I don't believe in fireworks, I don't want you spending my money on fireworks, how dare you do this, this is an outrage. How stupid does he look? His money is being literally stolen from him. He's got no choice. He pays it or he gets killed. Same as with the IRS. Pay taxes or they kill you.
So we should be complaining about it being stolen in the first place. I mean, go right to the bottom line, huh?
Why deflect? See, what politics does is it deflects your attention away from the fact that your life and property are not yours and that is being stolen from somebody else.
Okay.
And what that individual who is stealing it does is divert your attention away from that.
So with that in mind, Mark,
I'm stealing from you, complain and whine and cry about what I'm doing with your stolen money.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I pay my cable company every month for a service that I want, can I complain about how the cable company then spends the money? It's their money. They can do whatever they want with it.
Let me ask you this, then. With that in mind, what viable, specific steps can people take to take control of their own lives?
Well, understand what freedom is. And freedom, and I'm going to paraphrase Andrew J. Galambos, freedom is 100% control. Freedom is 100% control over your life and property 100% of the time, and zero control over another man's life
and property.
Okay,
how do they do that?
That's pretty straightforward. Now, to protect that, you would still have to, you know, to protect that, you would still have to have 100% control of your life and property. What people could do is, one, recognize once and for all, there is no state. They're not there to protect you. Don't cry and say, we've got to have police protect. We've got to have the police. Yes, you can have police and you can have police protection, but it does not have to be offered on a voluntary, on a violent basis. The services can be administered on a normal, voluntary basis like other services. So it's not the service that's the problem, it's the manner in which it's provided.
I think the root of the problem is the brainwashing and the to get around the sense of powerlessness and fear that stops people from taking control of their lives, we have to totally deprogram them.
Well, Mark, before we close out here today, we want to give your website one last time. It's Adventures in Legal Land. His book, it goes by the same title. The glare is kind of getting the cover, but it's called Adventures in Legal
Land. You know, Mark, we have a mighty challenge ahead of us, don't we?
That's right. And before we go out today,
I believe if we just provide better services at a better rate, then the beast could be starved. It'd be like courts, for example. I offer a service, part of service, and the rest of it's not available just yet, but it's a way of insulating businesses so they don't have to do business where they could be hauled into court.
Yeah.
When we get just civil litigation away from the courts, that's a huge amount of money, it's a huge amount of energy, and it goes a long way into taking legitimacy away from them.
Yeah. Well, in the last 60 seconds here, you say that if you want to do battle against the government, or some people call it the New World Order, the bureaucracy, or whatever, you have to know who you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. Who are we dealing with?
A gang of killers, thieves, and liars. And I go through and I have scripts and I have questions in the book. And if all I do is ask questions, I can expose the scam in front of everyone that happens to be there.
Wow.
Really easy to do.
It's a fascinating book. We urge everyone to check it out. Go to adventuresinlegalland.com. And thank you, Mark Stevens, for taking this time.
And what a better way of summing it up in that last response. So, Mark, thank you so much and keep up the great work, okay?
Thanks, guys.
Have a great day.
And we'll be back tomorrow on Wing TV. Keep your eyes open, folks. There's a lot going on.